Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 24th of February 2008. Hello and welcome, thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week we had our monthly all-age worship service, and continuing on from last month, we're looking at the Ten Commandments, and this month we especially took a look at Loving Thy Neighbour. As it was a really packed service, I've edited it down as best I can. A quick warning if you're using headphones that during Linda's story there are some loud bangs, so just be warned. But to start the service, we had a visit from a very special guest indeed, the Rainbow Fairy, who's also known as Janet, or my mum. So here's Andy to start the service.
And talking of inspiration, now for something completely different, familiar to some, but completely different and awe-inspiring to others. Janet.
Good morning. For those who don't know who I am the Girls Brigade Rainbow Fairy. And I'd like to make a special welcome to visitors joining with us, and another special welcome for those who are listening at home on tape, and a special big welcome for those who are listening all around the world on the internet. You think I'm kidding? I've been asked to give a special welcome to Steve, who lives in California, who listens in every week. So welcome, Steve. Welcome to the service. As you may have read in your news sheets, next Saturday is the Girls Brigade Rainbow Fair, and this is our mega fundraising effort for the year, because we have to pay a lot of money to headquarters, or central office as they now call it, for our fees, and this will be well over £700 this year. So this is our main fundraising. If you've seen in your news sheet, we'll be glad of any gifts you've got, but I would be particularly pleased if anyone could make me some cakes. Sorry, I can't see in these glasses. For my cake stall, because I don't want to go hungry. So if you've got any cakes you could make me, please come and see me afterwards. Or if you've got some of those lovely tins of biscuits or chocolates that you're still in date but left over from Christmas that you couldn't possibly eat, they would be lovely. So please let me know. We have a collection service, as you can see on your on the news sheet. And so if you could see Audrey or Joyce or myself, we'd love to see, love to come and collect any goods. But we'll be here on Friday from 6 till about 8:30 in the lounge and link room getting ready. So if you could drop anything off there, it would be greatly appreciated. So come on Saturday. Come and have a cup of tea and coffee with us. Come and spend, spend, spend.
I've got to follow that somehow. I mean, but Janet, we're so disappointed that you can't see in those glasses. I mean, but you look stunning today. Bless you. We're going to continue in our worship in the book of Romans, the very first chapter of the book of Romans. Paul says that we can know what God is like by what he has made. By the things that he has made. His creation speaks to us about what God is like and about all that he has done. And so what I want us to do now, we're going to watch we're going to listen to some music. James put this together a number of months ago, to a song called Indescribable, which talks about our God. And some amazing images. And as we watch these images, let them enable us and cause us to fix our eyes on the Lord and to see more of him that we may come again to worship him. This is a song, Indescribable.
From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea.
We sung there, I will worship with all of my heart. And this morning we're going to pick up the theme from where we left last month in our service of all-age worship, which was the beginning of the Ten Commandments. And of course, the first of the commandments is that we shall love the Lord our God with all our hearts. So Linda's going to come and share something in a moment. Could we just have the first slide, James? Would that be all right? I haven't got the clicker thing. This is, as I was thinking about this morning, as I look about in the world, as I read the newspapers, as I see the news, and as I just look out all that's around me, don't you get the impression sometimes that the things are falling apart? Do you get that impression? And I wonder if it's because we're not building our lives, we're not building society on... Bless you, bro. Thank you. We're not building society on God's commands, on his teaching, on what he wants us to do, the way we build our lives. And do you know this house? It was in Dorset, wasn't it? Quite close to you? Oh, or is it Yorkshire? Mark says it was Upcott. That's what they left. It wasn't. It was up in Whitby, wasn't it? Somewhere up there. But as I was thinking about this, I used to live in Sussex. And thank you very much. And I used to live in a town that was just by the Seven Sisters. Has anyone seen Atonement yet? The film Atonement? Where Atonement? There's loads of films filmed there anyway. The Seven Sisters, the lovely cliffs. And just on one of those Seven Sisters was a house called Belle Toot. And it was the old lighthouse, but it wasn't in the sea, it was up on the cliff. And a few years before we left Sussex, Belle Toot was getting so close to the edge of the cliff that it was, in the next few years, was going to fall into the sea. And the owners wanted to save it, and so they took it down, brick by brick, and moved it back and rebuilt it. Extraordinary. But I thought, it's a bit of a picture, isn't it, about some society, perhaps, that sometimes if we're not building our lives, if we're not building society on God's commands, on God's teaching, the way that he would want it to be, then it's going to fall into the sea. And we shouldn't be surprised if that happens. And that made me think of a particular story in the Bible. Anybody got any ideas? Anybody got any ideas? We'll come on to that in a moment. But Linda is going to come and tell us the story.
That I feel the attention's gone from me. I feel that we need some volunteers. As tradition in this church, we always have lots of volunteers until anybody wants to actually get up. So, my philosophy has always been never volunteer for something unless you actually know what you're volunteering for. So this is what you're volunteering for. You've got to be the thunder. Okay. So there's one. Here's the other thunder. If you don't like the noise, you'll know when it's going to happen. So you can just cover your ears. So any volunteers to be the thunder? If you don't volunteer, I just choose somebody. Come on, yes. You want to volunteer? Do you want to play the drum? Cool. hear it. Do you want to go up those steps there? Oh, no. Okay.
No, I do as I'm told.
The only thing I ask you is that you hold it like this wonderful girl here is holding it, so the sound comes out the bottom. Otherwise, it'd be a bit of a dead sound. So we've got a great band here. Thunder, the band. We need somebody to be the lightning. Do you want to be the lightning? Are you sure about the noise? Yeah, it's going to be noisy next to these. You get the prime position here as well. So we've got thunder and we've got the lightning. So by not volunteering, you're the backing singers. Okay? So you've got to be the rain. And you can use any part of your body to be the rain. You can use your mouth. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. You can use your legs. Pitter-patter. You can use your hands to clap. So, we're going to have a practice. After three, we're going to be the rain and the thunder and the lightning. Okay? One, two, three, go! Not bad. Not bad. Not bad for the first bit of the story, but you'll have to whip up a bit more enthusiasm for the next bit. Okay, so the next person I need is the builder. Any volunteers to be the builder? Builders are usually quite big people because they have to lift things and dig things. If your name's Bob, you've got it. Any volunteers to be the builder? Come on then. Over here, Mr. Builder. So you go. All builders have to have a high-vis jacket on. And, oh, I don't know, where is it? I'll just stick your arm out there for the minute. It'll be fine. Will that be all right? I don't think it's got, it's just...
Hold on.
I think it's broken, you know. No, I've got it. Here it is. There. I didn't think it was going to be this complicated. There. Go on, show, what do you think? Yes! Okay. Mr. Builder needs some bricks. Now, there's two types of bricks. If you feel that you can be this first type of brick, I would be very grateful to you. This first type of brick is quite athletic. Not me. It's quite athletic, because it needs to be able to do this. Collapse. And then you need to be able to get back up. If, like me, your knees are giving out, don't do this bit. Okay, so some quite athletic builders, or graceful builders. Bricks, I mean. You coming? You're going to be... Come on, we haven't got all day. Come on. Come on, then. So I need three more.
Come on, sorry. Mr. Clark, get up here.
You need to be this side,
oh,
please.
Sorry.
Yes. One more, please. Come on. Yes. Stand with the big beefcakes. So this side, you need to be really strong builders, bricks, rather. Want four strong bricks. This is going to be really interesting, isn't it? Two more, please. Oh, all right then. Come on, do you want to come up? Okay. Okay. I've got my builder, got my bricks, got my thunder. Got my other bricks. This builder, he had a catchphrase. Okay? You know what a catchphrase is? It's something that people like Bruce Forsyth say a lot. You know, he goes, nice to see ya.
To see you guys.
Well, this builder's catchphrase was, it'll never work. It's got no foundation. Okay, I think you might want the backing singers to help you out on this as well, do you think? So we're going to say it all together? Ready? One, two, three. It'll never work. It's got no foundations. Not bad, were they? Not bad. Okay.
Not bad.
Stand there, Mr. Builder. Thank you very much. Okay. Got all my props. Once upon a time, there was a very grand lady. See, I got the best part. And she wanted to build a house. She wanted this house to be the best house she'd ever seen. So she went to Channel 4, looked on Grand Designs, and Kevin MacLeod gave her the best house she could want. She thought, where can I build this house? There's that lovely place over there. Bit sandy, but it's got a great view. And all my friends could come and we could sit in the veranda and we could drink orange juice. Okay? Or there's the other place, on the rocks. Bit of a climb to get there, but we'll be okay. No, I'll build it on the sand. It'd be much easier. So she went into Google and she got the best bricks that she could find. Because the design that Kevin and MacLeod had given her didn't need any foundations on it. So she thought, well, I'll go splash out on the bricks. So she thought, I need a builder. This is your big part. I need a builder that was going to be a really, really good builder. He's going to build me my best house. I'll be able to email all my friends. Tell them what a fantastic house it is. Text all my friends. It'll be great. So she gets the design. She shows it to the builder. Looks at it and he says, one, two, three. It'll never work. It's got no foundations. But it will work, it will work, she said. It will work, it will work, she said. Because Kevin MacLeod said it would.
What?
So, the builder said, it'll never work. It's got no foundations. But he needed the money. So, he decided he'd go ahead with it. So, Mr. Builder, here are your bricks. Would you like to design the house?
Well,
just those ones, please.
I need to choose a foundation. Which one would you like for sand?
No foundations for sand.
Well, I'd have to do it on the rock.
Go and try and build it then. Can you do it just here? Because I've got plans for them over there. Is that it, Bill? Bob? Is that it? Oh, it's marvellous, said the lady. It's marvellous. And she sat outside and drank her orange juice. But do you know what? She spotted in the distance the rain clouds. The rain came in. The thunder came in, pitter patter, pitter patter, the thunder, the lightning, clap. Oh. Collapsed. Why did it collapse? Got no foundations. So the lady came, see, my house, and she felt rather foolish. So she put her nose in the air and she walked off and she was never to be seen again. So Bill, Bob, thought, what am I going to do with these bricks? And he looked up at the rock. And it wasn't like that other picture. It was far away. So he thought, I know, I'll recycle these bricks and I'll use them as foundations. So, Bob, can you come round to this side? please. You could go down the steps. It's a bit of a walk, you see, away from the sand. That's lovely. Up here. Thank you. Pick this brick up. Dig a hole there. Put your brick in the hole. Okay. Get one of these bricks. Let him. Stand up straight, Mr. Brick. Mr. Foundation, can you hold on to his leg?
Okay.
Just with one hand. Get another brick. Dig a hole. Put the brick in the hole. Could you go next to him? Get a posh brick.
Go on,
a posh brick.
Okay, just want to move back a little bit. Thank you. Get a hold of the other leg so you can hold on to him. That's it. Get another brick. You might have to come this way. Another foundation brick, please. You might have to come round here. If you just stand there. Yeah, yeah, if you want to. Yeah. Okay. Can you hold on to that leg? Can you hold on to that leg?
Oh, my pleasure.
Can you all hold on to each other? Can you hold on to each other's arms or shoulders? Or? Well, this house was fantastic. Mr. Bob the Builder built it so well that he sat outside and he drank his orange juice. But guess what was coming? The rain, the rain. Pitter patter, pitter patter, pitter patter, and the thunder. And it was really strong. Did the house fall?
No.
Bob, why didn't the house fall? It's got foundations. Thank you. If you'd like to get down one by one.
We looked last time at the Ten Commandments. Can I just quickly remind? We've got them on the thing, because these Ten Commandments are, if you like, the foundation. Need to be the foundations. Then Barry is going to come and talk to us in a moment. Are they there? They're coming. And then we're going to look at Mark chapter 12. How are we doing? No. Overcome by that song. No, don't. It doesn't matter, Jim. Doesn't matter. Just to say about these Ten Commandments. Jesus was asked, "What is the most important commandment?" And in Mark chapter 12 and verse 28, Jesus said this: "The most important one is this: Hear, O Israel." The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want your house to survive when trouble comes along? I mean our lives. Do we want society to be able to stand? Then we need to build them on these two things. Loving the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our mind, and with all our strength. That's what we looked at last time. And this time Barry's going to come and share with us about the need to love our neighbour. To need to love one another. Thank you, Barry.
Said to my wife this morning, I said, love your neighbour, shall I pop in next door and give Dave a hug? She said, no, don't do that. I said, well, shall I go next door and give Mary a hug? She said, no, don't do that. So I said, what about the other house, the man with the crutches? Shall I give him a hug? No, don't do that. Love, it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I can love fish and chips, but it's not quite the same as loving my wife. I fell in love yesterday with a sort of something that was attached to the label. Anybody here from the middle school? Have a wave, come on, you can get your hands up in the air. People in the middle school know that I've got a nickname of the gadget man. I love gadgets. I was walking up through the town yesterday and I saw outside the old post office a sign which said antiques and all sorts for sale cheap. I sort of looked in the door and I saw right at the back of the shop an old wall clock just stood on the floor. And my wife knows that I've got a sort of weakness for clocks. And she said, oh no! I went in and looked at it, and I looked at the tag that was stuck on the side, and it said, Gustav Becker. And I knew that Gustav Becker was a maker of very, very fine, excuse me, German clocks. You're not going to get that! That I am. And now it's hanging on our wall at home, driving Emma mad, because every quarter of an hour it either chimes Westminster or it chimes the Whittington chime. And I love it. But it's not the right sort of love. Emma, Auntie, my wife, and I, we've just come back from Poland and we've visited Auschwitz and Birkenau, the concentration camps. And I suppose that's the opposite to love, isn't it? Saw there where over 1 million people had been put to death. It was very, very sad and very, very moving. But I think it's done me good in going there. I think it's built more compassion and more love. Where do we learn about love? I want to take you back to when I was a kid at school. We need one of these. And we need one of these. If I can find the... You just be quiet, all you folk. Unless you'll be in trouble. And we need something else. We need... Get it the right way round. Need one of these. And we used to make ink pellets out of blotting paper and flick them at the teachers because they didn't show up on their black gowns. But they had these. And I remember one of the teachers stood behind his desk. All right, I'm not going to use it, don't worry. Providing you're good. I remember one of the teachers stood behind his desk and he said, Leet, come out here before I knock your head off. We had nicknames for all our teachers. Don't seem to have nicknames these days. But this one we called Chef. Don't know why. But he was a big bloke. And I went out the front and I was in fear and trembling. He didn't teach me much about love. He might have taught me a little bit of German. I think he was our German teacher, but didn't teach me much about love. We had another teacher that we used to call Bonzo, and he was a big chap as well. We had lots of really big teachers, and when Bonzo came into the class, as soon as he came in, as soon as he walked in the door, we had to stand up on the seats. Instantly, as he came in, we'd have to stand up on our seats. And Bonzo had a little friend, and his friend was called Charlie. Would you like to meet Charlie? Put your hand up if you want to meet you. Right, some of you want to meet Charlie. Here is Charlie, or one of his cousins, or one of his brothers. You see, Charlie could be hidden up Bonzo's sleeve. Charlie could be hidden in Bonzo's briefcase. And when Leet's trousers weren't pressed with nice creases down the front, Charlie would whack Leet, which was me, round the back of my legs. Or if my shoes weren't polished, Charlie would whack me round the back of my legs. So from my experience at school, I didn't learn too much about love. It was harsh, it was impersonal, and though they used to say sort of things like, this will hurt me more than it will hurt you, I never ever believed it, because it hurt me. I was sent to the head once for the cane. And the head's cane was, wherever it's gone, was one like this. And do you know what I did, Sam? I was sat beside my friend, like you are, and he gave me a little poke in the ribs, and I gave him a little poke in the ribs like that, and I was seen by the teacher, and we were sent to the head. In the head's office, it was hold your hand out, and he'd tap underneath, get it to the right height, make sure your fingers are back, then glad I missed. We used to call it the swish. This is why. It makes a swish noise. Okay, so never learned much about love at school. What did I learn about love in life? We had a next door neighbour. Her name was Mrs. Sharp. I think her name was something like Marguerite Lottie Sharp or something like that. But as a kid, I knew her as Sharp. And I learnt a lot about love from Sharp. If you can imagine a big lady, she was quite a big lady. She'd had a very, very hard life. Her husband had died, I think it was in the First World War or something, and one of her sons had died. And she was a big lady, always used to wear black. But I used to spend hours and hours in her house. She had a little funny brush that she used to use for dusting the dust off her radio, remember that? And she used to take me fishing. She used to live at Reading. She used to take me down to the River Thames, and we'd go fishing. And I spent hours and hours and hours with this lady that I used to call Sharp. She showed me a great deal of love. Wasn't hugging, wasn't kissing. It was showing that I was special. Showing that I was cared about. Because you wouldn't believe it now, I need to join your Weight Watchers thing because my scales keep telling me lies. But when I was a little kid, I was the skinniest kid you could possibly imagine. And I was always up and down to the doctor, always in and out of hospital. And I felt pretty rotten about myself. And Sharp showed me that somebody really loved me and really cared. Something about love. Some people love when it suits and it's not consistent. There's a little lad at school the other day, and the other day before half term, and somebody said to me, what's the matter with this lad? And he was stood there, or sat there, and he was sobbing and sobbing and sobbing his heart out. It's been a long time since I've seen somebody cry so much. Absolutely broken-hearted. Absolutely broken-hearted. And he and his friends had fallen out. Best friends. What they thought was a real bond of love, it wasn't consistent, they'd fallen apart. They needed something a bit stronger for their friendship, for their love. And eventually he told me all about it, and I was able to talk to him and able to talk to one of the friends, and it absolutely drained me to see somebody so sad. And the thing that I wanted to be able to do was just put my arm around him and give him a bit of a hug, because that's what he needed. I'm not allowed to do that these days, are we? Oh dear. Then the self-centered love. I will love you if. Sometimes I say to Angie, I say, do you love me? And she'll say, what do you want? Just seen a clock. No, 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 no. Actually, she quite likes the Gustav Becker clock, which is something in my favour. Self-centred love. I love you because there's a motive on the end of it and I want something from you. Love tends to get watered down. What do you do to show love? Auntie and I often write notes to one another and we just put, I love you. Leave it on the worktop. Put it on the dinner table when I'm laying the table for dinner, putting all the knives and forks out and the plates like I always have to do. And I print, I go onto my computer and I print out a nice A4 page which says, I love you. And I put it there. And she writes little notes to me which say, I love you. And you know, it's a good thing to express our love and our care for one another. We don't have to be all mushy about it. We can just show that we care. We can give people some value, give people some importance. Show people that they're special. Dylan and Ollie, two terrors at Minehead Middle School. Well, they're not terrors, they're quite nice kids, really. And a couple of years back, I was feeling really fed up, and I know the Lord had something to do with this, because Dylan and Ollie came up to me and they said, Mr. Lee, we've got something for you. And unfortunately, it's been in the wash since then. But they gave me this little tiny book, and it's a book of Bible verses. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. Lots of Bible verses. And that was fantastic. And you know, Dylan and Ollie can't believe that I still carry that around with me. Every day in school, I've always got that there. That's why it went in the wash one day, but it's just about survive. They were showing to me something of God's love, something of God's blessing, something that was telling me that not only did Dylan and Ollie care, but God was on the end of it as well, because he cared. And there's Gracie May, ordinary little girl with an incredible, incredible smile. And if I'm feeling fed up at school, I say to Gracie, Gracie, I need one of your smiles. And she'll just smile and wow, doesn't it do you good? You know, we get all tied up when we're told to love our neighbour. What do we do? How do we do it? How complicated is it? Just show people that you care. Give them a fantastic smile. Let them know that you're interested in them. Write a note saying, I care about you. I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. You're special. Sharing God's love. This thing creaks a bit, doesn't it? Perhaps it's built for Baptist ministers that stand still. I said to Andy this morning, I said, I can't be tethered. Verse in the Bible that I really love, and it's this. Hebrews 10:24. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That's from the authorized version of the Bible, the old-fashioned one, the King James Version, you know, the one that St. Paul used. And it took a long time, didn't it? Got to do a bit more teaching there. And I love that because it says provoke. Now, I haven't sort of arranged this, but I'm going to provoke Mark down there and see what happens. Mark, that top that you're wearing is not suitable for church. Neither is that beard. You look absolutely awful, but you do look better than you did the other week. You see, if I really provoked him, he knows I'm messing about. But if I really provoked him, I'd get some response back. He might come up to me, if I met him in the street and provoked him, he might come up to me and think, wow, this guy's looking for a fight. He wants some sort of response. I am being provoked and I don't like it. And I love that in the Bible where it says, consider one another to provoke unto love. To me, that means that I need to consider other people to provoke them into some sort of action. And that action that I provoke them into is not to come and thump me, not to come and beat me up, but to show me love. Do you follow that? Provoking to show love. We had an inset day at school quite a few years ago now, and the speaker said, just buy a Mars bar or something and put it in a member of the staff's pigeon hole or on their desk. Don't say who it's from. And that was to us adults, to staff. And I thought, what a fantastic idea. Trouble is, nobody did it, only me. I never ever got a Mars bar. But I used to print out cards, and just little cards of encouragement. Most of you have got computers these days. Print out a card of encouragement. Just put it through somebody's letterbox. Leave it on somebody's table. Let people know that you care. Some people seem to survive without that sort of thing, but I can't. I need encouragement. I need to know that people care. A few years ago, I was in Spring Harvest. I'm going to finish in a moment now. I was in Spring Harvest, and they showed a PowerPoint presentation. And the presentation was showing me that God loved me. Not only loved me, but he actually knew my name. Well, I know these things. I've known them for years. You know, when you were a Christian, you do, don't you? You know that God knows your name. You know he knows how many hairs there are on your head. He's getting quite pleased with me now. So it didn't take him so long to count. And you know these things, but it doesn't always take root in your heart. And I saw this PowerPoint, and it made me cry because God spoke to Barry and said, Barry, I love you and I know you and I know your name. And you're that special. I was a little boy once. I saw him the other day. He's not a little boy anymore. He's a fully grown man with a family. And I saw him in the town, and his name is also Barry. And I remember when he was 7 years old, he asked the Lord Jesus into his heart in a tent that we had here in Minehead, big mission that we did years ago. And I remember taking Barry along to the church and the Sunday school and introducing him to the, used to be called Sunday school superintendents then, sort of bossy, you know. And I said, this is Barry, and he's just asked the Lord Jesus into his life just the other day. And the response I got was, okay, tell him to sit down and we'll get on. And I thought, what Barry had done was such a fantastic thing. And yet he needed that bit of love and that bit of recognition. We're going to see this PowerPoint now, and with the PowerPoint I'm finishing. It might make you cry. It'll certainly make you think. And I pray that it'll touch your heart, because your name will be there. And if you don't see it, you've possibly blinked. Your name will be there. Thank you, James.
If you'd like to see the indescribable video, please head over to the show notes at minehead-baptist.com/sermons, and there's a link to the video on there. And I've been asked by the Rainbow Fairy to let you know that if you're desperate to make a financial contribution to the Rainbow Fair, please email me here on podcast@minehead-baptist.com, and I'll get you in the right direction. So thank you once again for listening, please stay subscribed, and I'll speak to you soon.